Hey there, welcome home.
Join me as we do a recap of 2018.
We have so much to thank God for in 2018.
With His grace and mercy, we made it to the end of the year.
For us in Coos, it was a journey of faith as we saw the new building coming to completion.
We finally have a place to call home. We are now able to worship God in one location in different languages.
Three crosses were lit in a memorable night service as we proclaimed Christ in the Queenstown community.
We thank God for this new space. We are so blessed to be able to host many activities and events in and around Coos.
He has enlarged our tents and given us many opportunities to bridge connections and form friendships.
As a church without gates, we desire to see lives touched and transformed, all for the glory of God.
No matter what your year might have been like, we trust that God is in control.
We are one family of God in Christ, looking out for each other, sharing our lives.
Why don't we put our hands together and thank God for an amazing year. A very good morning to all of you, Church of Savior, and welcome back to church. I know many of us have come from roaming to and fro the whole earth, right? We've gone on holidays and you're back with us here, and we're so happy to enjoy this last service of the year together. You know, it's such a joy to look back at the year and see how far we have come. I'm always reminded that we have all together made one entire orbit around the solar system, and here we are back together again. You know, every time we come to this time of the year, I would get a little bit reflective as I look back and think about all that has happened during this year. And I suggest to us that this is what we ought to do. We should look back to see what God has done for us in the year. Now, a couple of days ago, you know, usually at the end of the year, we want to clean up our house a bit, you know, do a bit of spring cleaning, preparing for the new year. So I was looking at my own house, looking at all the stuff that I had in my house, and I noticed that over the years, I had accumulated quite a lot of things. Some things, I don't know how they got there, some things, they are there, and I realized that among my collection, there were, I guess, a collection of things that represented things that I wanted to do, but never got round to doing, right? Plans that were laid carefully, but never came to fruition. Books that I bought saying to myself, I'm going to read this book this year, or I'm going to learn Japanese language or Spanish language this year. I have these books. And then at the end of the year, they are still haven't unwrapped yet, right? Do you have something like this in your house? Right? Exercise machine that you pay a lot of money for, right? Now it's zhou teng ah, collecting dust in the corner. I'm definitely going to walk, don't know how many steps. Never happened, right? For many of us, this is the story of our lives. So as I look back in my house, I found that all these things, I'm thinking, you know, what am I going to do with them, right? Should I double down and decide that 2019 is going to be a year where I finally plug in the exercise machine, right? One step at a time, right? Are we going to do? So there are these things in our lives. And then I discovered also that there are all those things that you're not quite sure what to do with them. You know, every time I send my car for servicing, you know, they will change the oil. So they'll, you know, pour in the oil. But there's always a little bit of leftover oil, right? So they give it to me, a big canister, and then inside, there's a little bit of oil left. I don't know what to do with this oil. You don't feel like throwing it away, because it's brand new, right? But it's too little. What else? Maybe the next time I see Pastor Joseph, you want some oil or not? Give me oil in my car. So maybe I should give them. You know, what do you do with these things? In our lives, there are all these things that, you know, you don't know what to do with them. And sometimes you want to throw, you don't want to throw. Do you have this in your lives? Have, right? Because in all our kitchen, under the sink, there are plastic bags. Isn't it? How did the plastic bag get there? You got a nice plastic bag. Then you look at it, wow, this plastic bag is so nice. Don't throw, right? So for maybe I need it one day, you put it inside there. Then after a while, you go to cold storage, come back, bigger plastic bag. You already have one already, right? Then you think to yourself, but this one is slightly bigger. maybe you can put more rubbish, right? So maybe pretty soon you become the auntie, right? Collect plastic bag, open all the plastic bag, come out. You know, in our lives we collect these things and we just accumulate. We don't even know how it got there or why it got there. And then on top of all that, there are those things in our house that you already decided that you want to get rid of maybe years ago. But somehow, they are still surviving. This is the survival things in your house, right? Right? You told yourself, I'm going to get rid of this bag. You decided, I'm going to get rid of this bag. But every time you're about to get rid of the bag, then you thought, but actually, it still works there. Maybe there's someone I can give it to, right? Someone, Pastor Daniel, maybe he needs a bag, right? So you think, every time you're about to throw out that shoe, the other thing, you stop. You know, when I go through my house, I found that I've got all these things, a history, and these things represented a life imagined, but never really realized, right? Opportunities that perhaps presented themselves, but never really cashed in on that, never really seized. And as I looked at the house and thought about this end of the year, then I thought to myself, I wonder what are the lessons that God would have us learn, right? The last, squeeze it out, the lessons that we have learned by looking back. And I want to share with you today five things, right? Five things about what we can learn as we look back in a year and as we look forward to a brand new year. So the first thing is gratitude. Everyone say gratitude. Someone said that gratitude is an attitude. Right? It's an attitude that you cultivate in yourself. It is not a reaction. For some people, they think gratitude is a reaction. Something nice. Oh, so nice. That's not gratitude. Gratitude is an attitude that you cultivate, right? As opposed to, let's say, envy. Envy is something you do. You compare to other people. You have something, but you compare to other people and how come, mine is not as nice. The grass is always greener on the other pasture, right? But here, at least there's grass. You know, my hair is actually all white. It's actually all white. Now, this black color is all fake one, right? You got fake news, you got fake hair color. But it's actually all white. But you know what? I always thank God that I still have hair, right? Because there are some people, they don't have black hair because they don't have hair, right? So, I thank God that we don't always compare to other people and become envious. Rather, we look at what has God given to each one of us, and we learn to be content. And in that contentment, you can be grateful because, your life is special. You know, just now you say I'm special, right? My wife thinks I have special needs, but we are all special, right? Then your neighbor say, you are special also. You're special because your journey is like no other people's journey. Yours and yours alone. It is not the same as other people. It may not feel as good, but quite frankly, yours is a unique God-allotted journey. And to be grateful is to say, God, I thank you for this journey. You know, in Proverbs, there's a verse of this guy who writes and says, God, I ask you for two things. Two things I ask of you, right? First one, keep me far away from lies and deceit, right? But then the second thing he says, I pray that you do not give me too much or too little. Because if I have too much, I might forget you and say, who is the Lord? Or if I have too little, I might steal and profane your name, right? So basically, he's saying that, you give me what I need exactly. Now, different people will have different needs, right? We have different, but every one of us, we have a special journey that we are making on our own. Collectively, Church Our Savior is also like this. We are not like other churches. We are unique, special, right? Although there's another church right next to us, but we are quite unique. And God has a special purpose and a place for every one of us who are here today making up Church of our Savior. So when we think about this, our gratitude is when we yield our hearts and our hopes to God and say, God, I thank you. I thank you that you're driving this thing. I'm not going to worry about how other people are doing. I'm going to thank you that you are leading me on. So when we look back, I have much to thank God for what God has already given us. During this week, there was somebody who gave me sent me a message, and we got in a bit of conversation. And this church member said to me, Pastor, you will have such a great reward when we go to heaven. I thought about it. Well, first of all of us will have great reward when we get to heaven, right? But I thought about it, and truthfully, I said, actually, I realized that I don't want any great reward in heaven. Because when I have all of you, I see all of you, that you're happy, you're growing, you're moving on. I said, you guys, you are my greatest reward. I don't have to go to heaven. I already got my great reward here. You are my great reward. God has given us one another. And you know what? Today, I thank God for all of us. When we are about to thank God for things, It's important to thank God for the important things first. Amen? Amen. And you guys, I'm so glad that you're here. I really am, from the bottom of my heart. When I thank God, I always think about you. You know, Paul says, I always think about you. Well, I really always think about you. Every one of you, even those who are hiding behind the pillar there, you know, I thank God for all of you, because you are what make this all such a worthwhile journey. Amen? Amen. So thank you, every one of you. Now, as we look back, you know, we have seen a video clip that's so nicely prepared for us by the media team. Right? There are so many wonderful things that we can thank God for. We thank God for a culmination of a long dream and aspiration. As I was rummaging through my old notes, I found among my documents in my office, there was one set of notes from the year 2010. Now, I came only in 2011, right? But this 2010, there was a whole bunch of notes. And they were the notes that I actually asked to them when I came to Church Our Savior. I asked them to give me the minutes of all the past PCC meeting, and I spent my time going through all of those to see what happened in the church before I came here. And among there, I found in 2010, the board of the church decided to form what is known as a building committee, because they wanted to renovate the church. They wanted to make some alterations and adjustments to the church, right? That plan that began as an alteration of the church became this building that you saw that we moved in March and April this year, right? It's been such a long journey for us, 8 years. That plan went up and down and went through all kinds of challenges. And in the year 2018, this year, we saw all that hope, all the investment, all that sowing, all those tears that we have put into it, we have seen it come to fruition. And I think we should thank God for that. Amen. This new building is not just a building, right? Because frankly, buildings are not all that important. There are many buildings in Singapore. This building represents for us an opportunity. Okay, it is an opportunity. And opportunities are just opportunities, right? There are many opportunities, but opportunities need to be realized. They need to be seized to turn into something real. This building is our opportunity. It is our opportunity to become a special community of God here down in Margaret Drive in Queenstown community. And that's why when we built this building, there were no gates, there's no fences. Anybody can walk in here, because this is going to be a place for us to make into a home. It is an opportunity for us to... We've seen the whole community come alive. You guys were out there after the service, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was in Japan. But while I was in Japan, Pastor Terry came here to preach and show you the Billy Graham video and the Holy Communion. That week after that, of course, I wrote to him, how was the service? Oh, I must check on him, right? So, you know, he comes from a cathedral. He says, I'm so impressed by your church, right? I mean, you guys are so participative, and all the life in the atrium, you all are out there and happy and laughing, and then the worship is so anointed, and the staff, they were following me every step of the way, they were ready for everything. I say, yeah, of course, you know, that's our church, and I'm so proud of you guys. And you know, I'm looking at all this and say, that is what this church is about. Amen? That is what the people, not the building, the people are what the church is about. We have seen how God provided through your giving an amazing amount for the building, $26 million. But you know what? We did not come short. God met our needs through your faithful giving. And I thank God for all of that. I think, when we built this building, we had hopes. In fact, we had many hopes that we will become a light to the community, right? We talk about being a missional church during the 2 years that we're building it. And we were investing in so many different training and upgrading ourselves and doing that. This year, I'm glad to say we have more than 700 decisions for Christ, right? More than 700 salvation, actually, for Jesus Christ. And that's amazing. I've never seen this number in my 7 years, I guess 8 years here, right? This is best year. This is really the best year, because it's the year of the harvest for us. You know, just about 2 weeks ago, the Filipino ministry up in the new chapel, they had their Christmas service a little bit early. They had 48 salvation upstairs, right? Amazing. Last week, we had the birthday party. This time it's called Reindeer's Tail Birthday Party. The next one is Bakwa Party. Bakwa Party, we all will have one, right? But this one, birthday party, reindeer still, they had 57 salvations, you know, from among the kids. Not counting the rededication, 57 first time salvation. Our community service people, they have been hard work in our community. All year round, they have seen so many salvation. Every time they go out, somebody gets saved. Every time. And just this month, a couple of weeks ago, they had a party, a Christmas party also. Right? They're eating a lot, but it's worth it. And they get all these community people out, 19 of them got saved. You know, praise God for that. We also have a community children's program called Soaring Eagles, right? And this couple of weeks ago, Soaring Eagles had a football camp. They took some of our neighborhood kids, went to SAJC, they played football, and five people got saved from playing football, right? I can go on and on and on. Some people were baptized in a hospital, some people were baptized on the deathbed even. Some of us, our parents, who have long, long, long time waited, finally got saved this year. It's such a wonderful year of harvest, and there are so many more of these stories. And you know what? I thank you for your love for the Lord, and I thank you for your love for the lost. And this is a great harvest, not because this year is special, but because we have been sowing for so many years, and finally we see the harvest. Isn't that a good thing? Amen? Amen. I really look to the new year for anticipation, because we have not finished reaping yet. There's much more harvest yet to come. Can you say amen? We will sow more, but if you sow, you will reap. That's the law of the harvest. I want to thank God for how you guys have grown in love. Because throughout the year, you know, now that we have moved back here, you know, before that, my office was in Henderson. I don't know what's going on in church, you know. People come to church, Pastor, I came to church, where are you? I said, I'm in church office, right? But now finally we are here. I will come down every now and then, you know, jalan-jalan, walk around, you know, say KLKK, kya-la-kya-ki. So, I walk around the church, and you know what I see? I see our church members, the ladies who come down during a weekday, and with their smiling faces, they are serving in Cafe Oasis, preparing the food. I see people who are running their Alpha programs. I see people coming, you know, someone gave me a honeydew melon that came from our farm upstairs, right? Literally the first fruit. You know, we have all these people, and when I see all their serving and smiling faces, I look at them and I say, you know what? You guys are really the great reward. I mean, really, it is nothing more, nothing better that a pastor could ask for, is to see a church that is alive, that loves one another, that's growing. And you know what? This is such a milestone, because we forget that 2 years ago, every service I have to announce, please do not park on the double yellow lines outside the church. Do you remember those days? Right? During service, got special car number. You know, that's not lottery number. Car number will come by. Please remove your car. You know what? Today, we have grown. We have matured. We have grown in love for the Lord and also for one another. And that's something I really thank God for. I also want to thank God for, you know, because so many things are coming together now. I find myself that I have more time to invest in friendships and in people, right? So I've gotten to know some of you better throughout this whole year. And I want to pray that in 2019, it's going to be a year where we invest even more in getting to know people and making friends in this place. Because we don't want this church to be a place where people cannot belong. We want everybody to find friends, to find meaningful relationships in this family of God. Amen? So let this be your New Year resolution, right? But it has given me a great joy to know people in greater depth, to hear your stories, to hear about some of your challenges, to pray with you and to cry with you. You know, I thank God for all of you. You know, this morning I just met a brother in our church by the name of Daryl. Daryl is going through such a difficult time because, you know, the doctor has given him only 3 weeks left. But you know what? He was in church this morning. I told Daryl, I saw him on Christmas, I said, Daryl, I know it's been such a hard year for you. I am so glad that you are here, because you matter to me. You are important to me. And for all of us, when you look around you, don't we see that these people matter to us? Every one of us. This is what really matters. Amen? The people around you. I know your family members, your children, though you want to kill them sometimes, right? These are the treasures that God has given us, our inheritance in the Lord. I thank God for the friendships that come together and living out in love prove that we are the disciples of God. I thank God for seeing us through this whole season, that He has empowered us. He has enabled us to be more than we thought we could be. And you know what? We are going to be even better. I believe He's going to empower us even more. We'll grow even more in the year to come. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, there's a verse that says, rejoice always. Everyone say, rejoice always. Yeah, when you say rejoice always, you must smile a little bit. You know, it's like, rejoice always. Okay. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is God's will for you. You know, sometimes you wonder, what is God's will? The Bible already tell you what is God's will, right? Don't have to look high and low. Don't have to look under the rock or behind the tree. The Bible spells it out for you. The will of God is for you to rejoice always, to commune with Him in prayer, and to give thanks in everything. But some of you will say, Pastor, what do you mean? In everything give thanks? What about the losses? What about the pain? What about the people we have seen pass on in 2018? Well, we have not forgotten these people, right? They are dear, the dear ones, and their memories that are with us. Do we give thanks to that also? Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20, it says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. In other words, it's a waste, right? So Paul is saying, don't waste your life, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. I wonder, if I put a stethoscope to your heart right now, what kind of melody would I hear? What kind of melody is playing in your heart now? Some of you got Spotify down there, right? Some will be a sad song, you know, playing the all the sad song, you know. Because if it's such a sad year, God, I'm crying to you. I don't think so. I think it should be something like, you know, you give and take away, right? Blessed be the Lord. And then it says in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. Everyone say all things. For all things. Not just for good things. Not just for wonderful things. Not just for answered prayer. But for all things. Including our losses. Including our pains. Our failures. The challenges that have come our way. All things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It can be a little bit hard, isn't it, to give thanks. Because, you see, gratitude is not a reaction, right? It's not us reacting. It's not just our emotions. Gratitude is a discipline. We train ourselves to have this attitude, to look at the whole thing and say, you know what, regardless of what this might be, in the grand scheme of things, God is in control, and I thank God. I really believe that God is good even when He takes away. I believe that. I believe that in my stumbling and my failing, in the face of rejection and adversity, God is still good. Right? In the overall scheme of things, God is still good. So we can trust Him. Where you are in your life, no matter what's happening today, the temperature can be high or low, in the grand scheme of things, you know, God is good. That His purposes and plans for each one of you cannot be thwarted by our circumstances. It cannot even be stopped by our own failing, because God's purposes will be fulfilled. That is so good, right? That's so liberating. Liberating, yes. Sometimes the words take a bit of time to get to my mouth, right? It's so liberating because, you know, we don't have to feel like we're carrying the whole destiny by ourselves. Because God is carrying you. Amen. God is carrying us. And you know what? As you look back, you are here. Of all the challenges that presented themselves in 2008, you made it. You made it here today. And I think, thank God. You know, the Apostle was a musical many years ago. And in that Apostle musical, there was this song. And it goes like, thank you, Lord, for the trials that come my way. Isn't it? So I thank God for all of that. So your gratitude is important. Number one, gratitude. Number two, we all need patience. Everyone say patience. You know, we are on a journey. As a church, we are on a journey. Remember 2 years ago, we gave out the walking stick and said, we are beginning a journey and we start marking all these things, guess what? We are still on a journey. And a journey takes time. And that's why we have to be patient. You know, the Bible talks about many heroes of the faith. Great men of great accomplishment in the Lord. And these people, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, it says, these all have died in the faith, not having received the promises. Right? Get this. Great men, heroes of God, they did not receive the promises. But having seen them from afar, they were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They reminded themselves that they were on a journey. They were pilgrims making a journey on the earth. But this is not our final destination. This is the process, right? So we are all in a process. And when you're in a process, you have to be patient. Because sometimes it may take a while to get there. Abraham, the father of faith, never saw the promised land. Do you realize that? He never saw the promised land. Moses, the greatest human prophet of all, other than the Lord himself, right? He saw the promised land, but kind of stopped there, right? Couldn't go into the promised land. You see, it's a promise. It's a process. And for all of us, we are making this journey in life. Therefore, we need to be patient. Patient with yourself and patient with God. Because God is this artist that's honing a fine masterpiece. It takes time to do that. Or God is a farmer who has already sowed seeds into your life. Already. You may not see it, but it's already there. But you know what? It's going to take some time for it to come to fruition. Don't be anxious. Imagine a farmer, right? He goes out, he plants a durian seed. After eating durian, one of those seeds plants inside. And he's that night, he's thinking, dreaming durians. Wow, you know, when this tree comes out, it'll be so exciting. I don't have to buy and queue up. And now I can have the best durian. And you start to think, maybe I can have a durian for. And the next morning, he's so excited. He goes out there, he looks. Anything happen? Nothing happened. So what does he do? Dig out and check. Oh, you know, dig out and check. Wow, I thought maybe in the night, some dog came out, dig up the... Okay, still there. You cannot do this all the time. You got to just let it go, right? Let it be there. Let it grow. And that is what is happening in Church of Our Savior. What we see this year, 2018, is not just what happened in 2018. It's not just because of the building. It is because a seed was sown many, many years ago. And that seed, sometimes it grows invisibly and you cannot see it. When you don't see it, our human nature tends to become a bit discouraged, isn't it? You say, how come nothing happening, alright? Wow, I go out there every day, I put fertilizer, I put water, you know, but I don't see it. But maybe it's growing underground, right? The seed is actually bursting forth in life. You don't see it with the natural eyes. This is true both of your life. So today, when you look at your own life, I want you to realize that God is doing something. And one day, when the time is right, it will burst forth and the shoots will spring up and in good time it will bear good fruit. This is what God says. We are like that tree. Not necessarily durian tree, right? Because I know some of us don't like durian. But we are an ongoing work. And today, when you look at the church, we are an ongoing work. We are a church that is on the way. Amen? So be patient with yourself. When you are patient with yourself, you are also patient with God. You are also patient with one another. You know, they say love covers a multitude of sins, right? None of us are there already. We are all on the way. I definitely am on the way. And I hope if I make mistakes, you'll forgive me. But together, as we're going on the way, we learn to have this patience. So important, right? You want to be the two marshmallow kid. Do you remember the story I used to tell? Right? The experiment. You don't want to be the impatient one to eat the thing straight away. You want to be the two marshmallow kid who can see afar off the promise and says, you know what? It's not easy going, but I see that I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to be patient and I'm going to keep on going. Number three, industry. Not the, you know, the kind of industry. Industry as in hard work, right? We have to apply ourselves to our circumstances in life because hard work is an important. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 to 10. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the wisdom of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding that you may walk worthy of the Lord. So all the things that Paul did and said beforehand is so that you may walk worthy. Right? Not sit pretty. Right? But some people, they think, oh, patience means don't do anything, right? I'm very patient. I sit down, I fold my arms, and I wait. No. That's not how, you know, some farmers, farmers, they sow their seed, right? And there's a season of harvest. Before the season of harvest, you don't imagine that the farmers just sit down every day and wait. You do wait, there'll be nothing. You have to work, right? Once you sow the seed, you have to work to keep the ground fertile, to keep the thing going in the hope that one day it will bear fruit. Same is true for our lives. God wants us to put one step, one foot in front of the other. Even when you don't see things happening, I stop. Don't do that. When you don't see things happening, keep on going. Because some of us, you know, sometimes we don't do this, alright? We need to continue to work hard. If you don't work hard, you'll go to places. I was recently in Japan for a short holiday, and we were in Kyoto, and my wife persuaded me to go to this, you know, place where it's like a big hill with thousands of steps. Right? Thousands of steps walking up there. And I'm the kind of guy who, you know, got cable car or not, right? I don't like to climb steps. Moreover, my wife's got this thing on her phone that counts the number of steps you take every day. And she seems bent on taking 20,000 steps a day. Which to me is kind of insane, right? I don't know whoever invented that thing. To me, it's either tired or not tired. No need to count the steps on, right? Anyway, we get to this mountain and she says, you must climb. I told her, I said, you know, Lynn, this is not normal steps. Each step is vertical. One vertical step equals to 5 horizontal steps, right? And I said, I will only go up to, there are all these different stations, right? I said, I'll only go up to station number 10. After that's it, right? I'm done, right? Because the next time I'm coming, I'm bringing a drone. You go up and fly the drone, right? So, I went up and up and up, and just so many steps, you know, right? Station 1, 2, finally I got to station 10. Then you are in a bit of a dilemma. Because you're already almost halfway up there already. So you're thinking, okay, maybe I can do up to 13. And you put up and your leg is starting to hurt a little bit, you know. And carrying cameras some more, right? Cameras, sometimes you wonder why I take this camera. Or you go all the way up to take 1-2 pictures and then, next time you just bring phone can already. So climbing. Then you get to station 13. Now your dilemma is even worse, right? Actually, a little bit more can get there already, you know. Right? So eventually, she'll talk me and persuade me, and finally I got to station 17, all the way up there, and then you realize you got to come all the way down again, right? But then I realized something. If you don't make the effort, you sit down there, you never get to see it from that point of view. You know what? God wants you to go to a place on this journey. You're not going to get to that journey without applying yourself in doing the things that you know is right to do. Even when you don't feel like it. In fact, especially when you don't feel like it, that's when you need to be industrious. Right? That is how God allows us in our discipline to run the race and to run it well. You don't just run when you feel like running. You run even when you don't feel like running. And so we need to be industrious, to walk worthy of the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, walk worthy. Number 4, we need to have faith. I know that usually at the end of the year, we are all thinking about the new year and we are wondering, God, what do you want me to do this next year? Right? That is why it's your will for me in my life. Should I change my job? Should I take up this new position? Should I embark on this new venture and project? And we are all waiting for confirmation. Right? At the end of the year, we're waiting for confirmation. What school? But not too late already. What school should I send my kid? We are waiting for confirmation. And so often, I found that we are paralyzed by uncertainty. Because we are not sure. We are waiting for confirmation. And the confirmation is not forthcoming. So we sit there and wait. Friends, that is not how it works. We need to have faith. Faith in our life. Faith in God. That when you step forward, God will be there to meet you at the next step. You know, in October, sometime in mid-October, there was a Japanese couple that came to our church. Now, there are many Japanese in our church now, getting more and more, right? I don't know if it's Kintsugi or what, but lately I am seeing more and more Japanese. That's why I must learn my Japanese. I'm going to try, okay, this year. Definitely going to try harder to learn my Japanese, right? So there's this couple who came. And the reason they came to Church Our Savior, they wanted to see me, was not because, you know, I thought they'd say, oh, because I heard your preaching is very good, huh? So sad, lah. Bad for my ego, right? Not because, wow, you know, all this new building. The reason they came, because we heard that you were praying for couples to have children. Oh, I already told you, don't go and tell everybody already. But somehow they heard about this, right? I don't know where they came from. So they decided, Pastor, can you pray for us? Because we tried for a very long time already. I'm thinking to myself, don't know if this will work on Japanese or not. No. But because they come such a long way, by faith I thought, Lord, this is your problem, okay? I didn't ask for this, but I'm going to pray for them anyway. You know, I just pray for them. I tell you, after that, every time I see them, it's very stressful for me. Because they came all the way here for this thing, right? So I didn't want to disappoint them. That it's not exactly in my control, right? So I was thinking, and you know how it's like, faith is like this, when you're going through up and down, you're wondering what happened. You know, it seems like, I don't know, are they looking a bit disappointed, you know? And looking up and, you know, on Christmas Day, Christian child came and told me, Pastor, Motomo is pregnant. Oh, such a sigh of relief. Praise God, thank God, right? What if I say I need to have confirmation before I pray for you? Nothing will ever happen now, okay? Guys, I want you to know, the walk of faith is like this one. The confirmation come afterwards, no use one, right? You need to walk by faith, especially when you're not sure. And all you have is your trust in God and His goodness. Friends, when you look back at this whole year, now I can look back and say, faith is important. But for all of you, we are not always at that point where you can look back. Now we are looking forward to a whole new year. There are many things that are uncertain. That is the point when you need to have faith. Faith is believing God when you do not see, right? There's no evidence. The word evidence comes from the word video, right? Video. You see the word video there? That means you cannot see the thing yet. And that's when you need faith. So, as we look back, I learned that faith in God pays off. And when we are here, in the easy time, or when you're about to make a decision, that is when you need to have faith. Amen? So we're going to have faith in God. And the last one, number five. Okay, so first one, we got to have gratitude. Be grateful in our hearts. Right? Secondly, we need to... Well, the first one is... Second one is what? Patience, that's right. Thank you for being patient with me. Right? Thirdly, you have to apply yourself. Industry. And fourth, you have to have faith. The fifth one, you all know. Every children know this one. Let it go. Right? You got to let it go. You know, I don't mean by the guest that you're holding in there. That one, don't let go. Right? But that one, please don't let go until after you're outside. But we've got to let certain things go in our lives. When we come to this point at the end of the year, I'm looking at my house and I think, you know, some of these things, they have to go, right? My wife has been trying to persuade me for the longest time to get rid of our dining table. Right? Every 2 weeks or 3 weeks, she asks me, is there anyone that we can give this dining table to, right? And she wants to get rid of, she says it's too big. I think it's fine. I like the dining table. It's good condition. It works well. You know, I think it's a good dining table. I rather like it, you know. But she wants to get rid of it. And I tell you, and she's here today, so, you know, later I have to do some repair, damage control, right? But for now, I'll tell you, secretly, I don't want to get rid of the table. But I'll tell you the reason why. It's not because of any sentimental value, right? You see, if you get rid of the table, what will happen? I'll come into the house, there's a big empty space in the middle, right? Right? You know what happens when women see empty space? They'll buy new things to put inside, right? She'll go out and buy another table. She says she wants a smaller table, right? If you do not get rid of the old stuff, you can't bring in new things because there's no space for it. Isn't that true? Right? We know this. This is something that's common sense to all. But this, guess what? It's also true of our spiritual lives. We sometimes have all these things, we're hanging on to baggage in our life, right? Bitterness and pain and unforgiveness. Maybe toxic relationships, right, in your life. Or some things that's bad attitudes that you accumulated over time. You know what? If you don't get rid of this, it's kind of hard for God to pour in a new blessing in your life. So one of the things that we think about as we go into the new year and looking at the past is that, you know what, we got to let go of certain things. Amen. You got to let go of certain things. You can't just hang on to everything. You know, you don't want to go through life. You let go because you believe in faith that God is going to put an even better. That's what my wife believes, right? She believes that I will get rid of that. She wants to let go of the table so that she can get a better table, right? To me, it's table is table, right? Right? So, okay, then later we'll talk, honey. I've been bringing her out for dates every day almost, right? She's so happy about that, but my wallet is not so much happy, right? But we have to let go of the unnecessary things. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's household, to a land I will show you. See, you don't get out of this. You can't go to where God wants you to. For many of you today, I know that there are things that God wants you to let go of. I know. In our lives, there are things that God wants us to let go of so that you can move on. You can move faster and be more victorious and really be more fruitful. But sometimes, in our human nature, we cling on to the old things like a security blanket. Even though it's not very good, we cling on to them. We don't want to throw them out because you never know, you know, what happens. You feel, when you throw out, you feel so empty and so vulnerable, except for your trust in God. You know, King David and Bathsheba, they had a son. They had a child. And this child became very sick and was going to die. And during this time, David was fasting and praying and crying out to God for mercy on the child. But eventually the child died. And this is the commentary in 2 Samuel chapter 12. It says, then his servant said to him, what is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was still alive. But when the child died, you arose and ate food. Okay, so most people, when people die, you cry, right? You fast and cry, you moan. But this one is opposite. When he's alive, you cry and you moan and you fast. But now that he's died, you stop and you get up and you eat food. So David answered and said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back? No, I shall go to him. He will not come back to me, right? So this is what David said. You know, sometimes you might be praying one thing, cry out to God for something. Sometimes the answer is an outright no. Do you realize this? This multiple choice question. Yes, no, maybe, or wait, right? Sometimes the answer is no. Not every answer is yes. I know some people say, but in Christ everything is yes. No. That's not exactly what it means, right? I think really for us, we have to be wise because there is a time to hold on, but there is also a time to let go. And some of these things in your life, you've got to let go and move on. And David was very pragmatic in that. And I know it can be a bit hard to let go. We can hold on to the memories. But in order to make space in your life, it is good. Let go of old ways of thinking, right? Old wineskins, if you like. Let go of those old wineskins so that God can do a new work in your life. And I don't know about you, but I want 2019 to be different from 2018, right? We don't want this to be Groundhog Day, you know? Every year the same one, right? We want this to be a new and more exciting year. Actually, I even welcome the new challenges that will come in this new year because I know and believe that those challenges are there so that God can do something greater in our lives. Amen? It doesn't feel like that when you're going through a challenge, but I'm telling you, in the grand scheme of things, those challenges, they are insignificant, right? They are not that important. So, as we look at all these five things, you know, and we say farewell to the year, you know, there are many things that God has done and He's been so faithful to us. There's still one last thing, right? And it's not really a sixth thing as it were, but it is a thing that I think we all should do. And that is, in this intermission, before the clock rolls over from 2018 to 2019, I think we should all pause and hear from God. You see, God is not simply a God of the past. He's the God of the past, of the present, and of the future. And I believe that in every one of your journey, your Father in heaven desires to speak into your life, to deposit a dream, a seed of hope, a vision for you, for your own life, not just for the church. And we want to do many things in this church. Next week I'll talk about it. But for your own life, I believe God wants to invest and plant that seed in your life. But in this intermission, you have to pause and allow God to speak to you. And guess what? I believe He speaks. I believe God speaks to us. You know, just a couple of, today is the 30th. Yeah, about a couple of weeks ago, I woke up in the middle of the night. And I sat up, had a very strong impression that God wanted me to do something. I can't say God wanted me to do. It wasn't as if, you know, Moses, you know. It wasn't like that. I just woke up and I just knew it. And I felt that this is from God. And it was the middle of the night, so I got out from my bed. I went to my study. And I won't tell you the details about it, but I got started on this thing, right? Now, I do not know where this will lead yet, but I felt that God is speaking to me something. And because God is speaking to me, it must be a good thing. Otherwise, God won't tell me to do this, right? I believe that God wants to do the same for all of our lives, for every one of you, that He wants to prompt. Now, of course, you will be paralyzed. How do I know this is from God? I don't know. It is a step of faith. I believe God is speaking to us, every one of you, on your unique individual journey. Your Father in heaven has a plan for you. He has something He wants to deposit. But for that to happen, you have to be willing to pause and say, you know, Lord, speak. You know, here I am, your servant, right? I'm hearing you. So for all of you, today, you know, I want to ask you to take this time away. I know we are busy and there's a year end. There's so many things to do and things to throw away. But, you know, while we're in this opportunity, as we roll over the new year, pause and ask God to realign you with His purposes. God, I want to adjust myself. Tell me, what do you want me to do? Amen? Let's just close our eyes for a few moments and just allow God the space to speak into our lives. Just attune your heart to Him in faith, right? In faith. Maybe God is encouraging you, telling you not to be discouraged, but to be patient. To give Him the space and time to work out that fruit in your life. Or maybe, or perhaps God is pointing you in a certain direction. Or perhaps He's already pointed you in a direction and He's simply reminding you, son, daughter, get on with it. This is my plan for you. Get on with it. Perhaps there are some of us here today that you're hearing a fatherly voice telling you, let it go. Let it go. Don't be carrying that burden anymore. Let it go. Our Father in heaven is so good that you are a caring Father. You have been faithful throughout the year. You've carried us on eagle's wings and covered us under the shadow of your wings. Through the thick and the thin, even when we're going through the valleys of the darkness of death, even when we're going through pain, yet in that pain, there is in you true gain. So Father, today as we come to the end of the year, our hearts are filled with gratitude. Not for the things, but for where you put us today. Among friends, relationships, people whom we love, a community that loves us back. We thank you that we have your purposes and your plan in each of our lives. And we thank you that we are growing and we are going, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for some of the things that you've taken away from our lives. We thank you that they were even there in the first place, that we could enjoy it. It's like Jonah enjoying the tree that gave him shade in the heat of the noonday sun. Thank you for all these things, Lord. But now, Father, we ask, will you deposit a fresh vision, calling in each of our lives. This life may not be dissipated in a waste, but it will become fruitful. Some 20, 40, 60, even 100-fold. Lord, make us fruitful. We ask this in the precious name of your very Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Shall we stand together and thank God with this old song?
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because it's given Jesus Christ.
Indeed, we give thanks to you for every one of us, Lord. Really, Lord, words fail to express the gratitude that overflows from our hearts. We are thankful, God. We are thankful. We thank you for being our Father, for being present in our midst. We thank you for being powerfully there when we needed you. Thank you, God. So now, Lord, we go from this place with our eyes fixed on you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and give you grace. The Lord lift up His countenance upon your life and give you peace. We ask that as we go from this place, your presence will accompany each one of us as we enjoy the goodness of the land, the good of the land. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with all of you now and always. Amen. Amen. Service is over. Happy New Year, everybody. Right? I'll see you all back next year. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.whos.org.sg. God bless.